listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And welcome, everybody, as you always are, at this time on Friday, Pacific Standard Time, 11 in the morning, out here on the West Coast. You are officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist, who's ready to help you out with, you know, some advice, give you some suggestions, share stories, you know, help you out a little bit if you'd like. And, of course, I'm going to be reading emails from a lot of listeners today who ask me questions about a lot of relationship issues and also personal stuff. What's going on with you? What you'd like to fix within you? Why do you think this way? And what's up, generally? And that's what it's about. And, of course, I always welcome your calls here live on the air if you'd like to give me a shout. It's 323. That's the area code, which is a Los Angeles area code. The heart, the capital of entertainment in the world. 323-203-0815. That's where you can find me and put you on the air. If you want to talk about a relationship issue or a problem or something going on, that's cool. We can talk. And I do have a lot of emails that I planned on answering today from listeners who have kindly written me and asked me to help them out. But before I get started, I just want to talk a little bit about the first day of the year, tomorrow. 2011. Wow. Where'd that come from? 2011 already? Okay. The last day of 2010 is today. Now, a lot of people who come to me and see me say, I'm going to make some resolutions. Everybody says that. I'm going to make some changes. At what is the biggie, right? Make more money. lose weight. I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to start going to the gym. All those things that everyone says that they're going to do. And then, of course, that lasts for about 3 days to seven. Or maybe 2 weeks if you're lucky. And then it just sort of peters away slowly. Because it's tough all of a sudden. My whole philosophy is taking changes slowly. Not slamming into things that you're not going to live up to. Because sometimes it doesn't work that way. You got to give yourself a break. You got to be kind to yourself. And you have to slowly work into things. Because another revolution of the earth around the sun does not necessarily mean that you have to slam yourself into major life changes all of a sudden. It's just another revolution of the earth around the sun. Midnight. We're starting 2011. So what we have to do is be kind to ourselves. And I want to read to you something going into the new year. I want you to think about something that I really believe in that may help you out a little bit, that may help you consider how to take care of yourself a little better, how to work into being kinder to others, how to just appreciate who you are as the new year begins. And as you remember, I always say at the end of my show, do take care of yourself first. Now, I get a lot of emails and calls from people who say, God, does that mean I can be narcissistic? No. I'm talking about the fact that if you don't take care of yourself and love that which you are, take care of your health, then you won't know how to extend it to others. You won't be able to love and appreciate others. So the first step is to take care of yourself and be good for yourself. Mind your health, no matter what it takes. And then you'll feel better enough to reach out It's like with women who write me or men who write me, and they're devastated by relationships who have crushed them, people who've crushed them in relationships, and they have low self-esteem. And they're hurt and they're angry. I have a listener who wrote me about this just recently, and I'll talk about it coming up in a little bit. She wants to start getting out there in the world and dating. She's not ready. She has to take care of herself first so she can kindly love others and not come in with anger and low self-esteem into another relationship. So I told you that story to tell you this one. The reason why I'm in to take care of yourself first is because that's what it's about. And I'm going to read to you a little bit, paraphrase, from a book that I got a hold of in the 80s. I know. Let's all sing Kumbaya. Yeah, it's the spiritual kind of awakening for a lot of people in the 80s. That's what was going on. A lot of channelers. What's up with that? Nonetheless, there was a book written, and there are some truths in this. It's called Ramtha Book. I don't know if you ever saw the movie What the Bleep Do We Know? But a woman called Jay-Z Knight is in that movie, kind of explaining about how we create our lives through our thoughts and feelings, and how we build neurotransmitters to reflect that, how it can all affect our moods and change our lives. Most of the movie was about taking responsibility for your thoughts and actions. And that's really what I'm about, making positive life changes. So, quoting from the Ramtha White Book, which came out in the 80s, it still holds true, as do most wise teachers' words that have come from the past. So let me read to you some of this. And think about this. Going into the new year, you know, you have all these problems and issues and stressors, and you're sad, and other people are manipulating you, and you're not making enough money, and you're too fat, and your health is not good, and I want you to ask yourself, in each of your lives, what is your purpose in being here? Think about that. Many are reared to think they must be a certain profession, and they're scrupulously watched by family and society to make sure they become it. It's really ominous. Then there are those who imagine they've been sent here to be a great teacher or savior or healer of mankind. And that's great. How noble that is. And there are many others who feel that they're here to plod along in a carefully laid out narrow and holy path to God. The holy, the priests, the rabbis, they'll teach us. That's wonderful. But here's the way it comes down in this teaching. The higher power is not giving you or anyone else a directive, per se, as to what your life should be, except for one thing. And that one desire for you provides the ultimate in being, and that's for you to try to be joyful, whatever that means to you. For the happier, the more joyful you are within your precious and divine self, the closer you are in being the likeness of a higher power or harmony in all life. Okay, so you say to me, Dr. Michelle, I'm an atheist. That's all good. Whatever. Find the goodness within you. Find the higher power within you. To be happy and joyous is the grandest emotional value there is. It's the greatest accomplishment in life. To have understood and become joy is the only destiny that a higher power has given to all mankind, whatever understanding they've achieved. When you've returned to a state of joy and happiness, you've returned to a state of being close to your higher power, your higher power. Okay? I am not demeaning in any way any religion that prays to any other person. A Jesus, Mohammed, the Buddhists. They all advocate love, power of freedom within ourselves. You know, we all have free will. It gives us the power to create whatever we want. You know, through the worst things to the greatest of things. The worst of things, but we all have it. So what's joy? It's the freedom of movement without interruption. It's the freedom of expression without judgment. It's the freedom of being without fear or guilt. Joy is knowing that you're creating life on your own terms. It is the sublime movement of self-allowed. That's joy. Okay? There's no room for jealousy, anger, bitterness, hate, war, fighting. You know, it's really difficult to hate anyone. It's really difficult to hurt anyone when you're in a good place, in a state of joy. When you're happy and joyful, you're pretty mellow about all things and all people. Yes, indeed, stuff comes up during our day. Yes, we all have financial issues. We have problems sometimes. We have physical issues. We have family problems. We have relationship issues. But if you know that every moment of your life gives you the freedom and opportunity to express joy, if that's what you want, you've got it. And nothing is ever worth separating you for a very long period of time from happiness and joy. And here's the hard one. Love yourself. I know you're going, that's 80s stuff. Yeah, indeed. Love yourself for who you are. When you're joy, when you're inspired, then you can go forward and continue that feeling. The more you feel it, the longer it lasts. Okay? There is nothing ever worth separating yourself from happiness and joy. Try to love yourself. Forgive yourself for hurtful things you've done. I'm so bad. My parents said I was bad. I hurt this guy. I hurt this young woman. I'm bad. I've hurt people. I've done bad things. We all have. Everybody has done bad things. That's what our freedom of choice is. We learn that way. Stop hurting. You learn the lesson. You correct it. You move on. You be more honest to people. You be kindlier to yourself as well. Know that you can't change anyone else, except your dog, maybe. Yeah, behavior modification. You can try to change other people. The reality is the only person you can change on this planet is yourself, your thoughts and your behaviors. And you've got to care for yourself, your thoughts, forgiveness of yourself and the stuff you've done. It's tough sometimes. When you've been a jerk in life and you've hurt people or you've ripped people off or you've done things that everyone has done, or you were told growing up that you were a loser or you were never going to amount to anything and that you were not lovable, or your parents were in their own narcissistic life to live through you or you had to live through them, it's really hard to forgive yourself. But it's easy to do so when you understand that we all make mistakes and you have to change your thoughts and behaviors. Okay? Joy begets joy. When you accept the joy that is pressed to you, it heightens the joy of tomorrow's and opens up for you even greater receivership. So it's like a snowball effect. You see what I'm saying? Now, I get a lot of emails from listeners who say, you always talk about loving yourself, taking care of yourself and all this. Are you talking about being a narcissist? I can be, you're allowing me to be a narcissist? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Narcissism or narcissistic personality disorder, it's somebody focused on their self and their self-admiration to the extreme. There's a difference between loving that which you are and caring for yourself and being self-centered and boastful or seeking constant attention and admiration. That's coming from insecurity. You consider yourself better than others. Loving yourself and forgiving yourself doesn't mean you're better than others. People who exaggerate their talents and achievements, they're always bragging. And you believe you're entitled to special treatment. Everyone's entitled to special treatment of themselves. The narcissists are easily hurt. Ugh, they hurt my feelings. There's so many drama people out there. They hurt me. They're so sensitive to slight, feeling like they're slighted. You know? Narcissists take advantage of others to achieve their goals. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the narcissistic personality. I'm talking about being humble and forgiving yourself and caring for yourself. So when you go into the new year, I want you to slowly see, as the earth makes its one last little final rotation around the sun again, that this is a new beginning for you. To care for you. Take care of you. Stop putting your crap on other people. Take responsibility for your thoughts and behaviors. Go within. Care for yourself. Try to be joyous. Try to be happy. Forgive yourself. And change some of the behaviors you've done that have hurt yourself and others. And that's all I'm going to say about that. If you'd like to call in, the number here is 323-203-0815. And I have a lot of listeners who said, "Dear Doc, I really want to get some help today." So you wrote me on docmichelle@aol.com. That's docmichelle@aol.com. And I'd like to get going here with some of the emails. Let's start out with a really nice one. This is from Marie. And she wrote me at docmichelle@aol.com. So I could read it here on the couch on LA Talk Radio for you. I was married to this guy for over 5 years. I left and divorced him over 25 years ago because I felt I was too young and really needed to find out who I was before settling down. He wasn't that hurt because our divorce was mutual. He too needed to grow up. All right. I recently met him again and he wants to talk about getting back with me. I like this guy and he treated me well when I was with him. I've been divorced for 2 years with the man I married after him. Is it a good thing to get back with an ex or not? Well, I don't know. I mean, I do know, Marie, that absence can make the heart grow fonder. Or it can clarify just how crazy you were to fall in love with him in the first place, right? You know what I'm saying? If you have an ex out there and you were really young and you just kind of jumped into it, a lot of times you go, "God, I was crazy back then. How could I be with someone like that?" But listen, Marie, if you're actually considering going back with him, I want you to think about some things. I want you to take some time to get honest with yourself first. And I want you to make sure you're doing this for the right reasons. You know? So pull back. Don't rush into this. Maybe he's matured. Yeah, over 25 years ago. So have you. You've grown up. You've actually been married again and divorced. So you've grown up. So I want you to ask yourself some questions. When you see him again and spend some time with him, as you seemingly have, I want you to ask yourself, am I truly missing my ex? Or am I just missing having someone? Anybody. In other words, are you feeling lonely? Are you feeling lonely right now because you did divorce your ex? Recently? I don't know. Also ask yourself, what's changed since we were together the first time? What's changed? Have I changed? Am I more mature now? Am I ready after all this time to be into a relationship with someone? Am I ready? Is he ready? Has he changed? Have we both grown up? How will I feel if I go back and it ends up not working out again? You have to ask yourself that too. How am I going to feel if we give it a try and it doesn't work out again? May not. It's all good. I say sometimes you have to put yourself out there to learn what it's going to be like in order to make a choice instead of avoid it. And that brings me to another question I want you to ask yourself. Ask yourself, how am I going to feel if I don't try and give it a second shot? How am I going to feel if I don't try and just put it out there? What are you going to lose? What are you going to lose? You've grown up. Now you're more mature. You haven't seen him or been with him. You've seen him, but not really been with him for 25 years. You've matured. You know? So how are you going to feel if it doesn't work? You're grown up now. Are you willing to do that? Are you going to kick yourself in the booty? If you don't, you may. You might just give it a go. Check it out. Go slowly. Nobody can tell you whether your relationship is worth giving a second shot but you. But you have to let your heart and your head be the guide, Marie. Okay? You have to be honest with yourself before trying it. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to beat yourself up for the rest of your life for not checking out the situation or not being with him again and seeing what kind of a relationship you get, do it. Just tread slowly and cautiously so you don't get your heart broken. You know what I'm saying? You say, is it a good thing to get back with an ex? Get back? I don't know how far back you want to go. Tread slowly. Start dating him. Just like he's a new guy you met. He is a new guy. It's been 25 years. He's changed. You see? So, you know what I mean? Take your time. It's not good or bad. If he is a convict and an abusive person, I would say no. Don't get back with that guy. But if he's been all right, you've grown up, you guys parted your ways because you were too immature to really sustain a relationship, and now you're a little older, got your stuff together, check each other out. Do it. Go for it. And I thank you for emailing me. And this is Dr. Michelle with you on LA Talk Radio. You are on the couch with me, as you always are at this time on Fridays at 11. You can email me, by the way, at docmichelle@aol.com. That's where all of the emails came from today, from listeners. Doc Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. And I'm answering your questions here. Most of them are about relationships, as they always are. Some of them are personal questions about behaviors and thoughts and stuff like that. So we're going to move on here. If you'd like to call live, it's cool, 323-203-0815. There's a lot of women who wrote me, so I'm going to get to the women's emails. I do have a couple of guys. Maybe I'll insert them, too. Anyway, here we go. This is from Kristen. Hi, Doc. My boyfriend tells me that I'm becoming a real nag, and that I'm actually almost being bitchy at times. Yet I don't know how to get him to do what I want. Or what he needs, or what needs to be done without it. What does that mean? Can you please tell me, what are your tips for getting what you want without nagging or coming off bitchy? Well, I like your honesty, honey. Sounds like you acknowledge that you may be that way. I don't know what types of things you're nagging about to him, but I do know, and I think we all nag from time to time, mostly women, that when it comes to men, nagging gets you nowhere fast. You know, men will just pull away from you. Nobody wants to be with a nag unless they're codependent. And that's a whole ball of wax over there in the corner. That's something else we can talk about. But knowing the difference between nagging and suggesting does. If you know the difference between making positive suggestions, some people call it nudging. So I just want you to know the difference. Nagging is something the average person resorts to. You know, did you do this? I want this. Can I have some money? Why don't you fix this? What? Don't go out after work. What are you doing? Why do I go into that voice? I guess that's the nag voice. The little nagging being within me has that nag voice. And the problem is that, you know, that old ball and chain thing with men. Yeah, God. Yeah, my wife jokes, they come from the nags. Really? So encouraging your guy in the right direction is a subtle art that you have to learn. It employs suggestions combined with positive reinforcement and appreciation. See what I'm saying? We all nag, and we'll continue to nag occasionally. And guys can nag. They do that, not as much as we do, though. Nagging builds resentment, annoyance, and negativity. Gently suggesting or nudging gives your guy a shove. Gently. You have to help a man make his own mind up. It's like he made the decision himself, but you're just kind of implanting the suggestion. Doesn't mean you're manipulating. Just, you got to pull back and be a little nicer. You see? Because when we nag, sometimes we let every thought go, baby. We just put it out there. And we're only concerned about getting ourselves heard. And when you suggest positively, it means you're being smart, using what you know. You see? So here's some scenarios that I was reading about to better explain the difference between a nag and a nudge, or someone who can be a little more, suggestive. Let's say a guy spends too much time at the office. A nigger would complain that he cares more about work than he does about you. Right? Only furthering his lack of desire to come home. And once again making him feel badly about himself. Right? You say, you never come home. You're always at the office late. Do you not want to be with me anymore? There's some things we have to do. Where are you? What are you doing? But someone who is positive and can suggest things would call the man at the office and say, hey, what you doing? If you have kids, the kids are at the babysitter's. By the way, I've cooked your favorite dinner, or I've ordered out your favorite dinner. It's coming in. And I'd love to see you soon, honey. By the way, I'm wearing nothing but an apron. You see? Suggestions, positive. Not, where are you? What do you do? No, not confrontive or accusatory. Just, hey, I'm missing you. I love you. Come on home. Make it all nice. Here's what's waiting for you. You see? So, if I were you, I would stop nagging. Learn about the difference. Christian, stop nagging. Learn how to be suggestive. I think it would be great if, or, hey, it would be cool tonight if we could just be alone. Not, are you avoiding me? Where are you? Don't nag. There's a difference between nagging and being bitchy, as you said, and just slightly suggesting or nudging, you see. Okay. Thank you so much for emailing me, and I really appreciate it. I hope I've helped you out. You know you're nagging, so you can change it. You know how to phrase things. Just do it, girl. You're going to get a lot of different and better results from your man if you do. This is Dr. Michelle with you, and you are on the couch with me, as you always are at this time on LA Talk Radio. Fridays, we start at 11 Pacific Standard Time, and we're rocking listeners' calls today, as well as listeners' emails who wrote me at docmichelle@aol.com. I'm answering a lot of your emails. A lot of them have stacked up, and I'm trying to get to you so I can help you out with your stuff. And maybe if I don't get to your stuff today, you can learn from similar situations. And it's always interesting and hopefully entertaining to hear some of the other people's plights and what they've been through and what they're trying to achieve. Not laugh at them. Well, it's sometimes fun to laugh at everybody. Well, we got to laugh at ourselves. We have to lighten up a little bit. So here we go. This is from Paula. And she says, hey, Doc, can you help me with an awkward situation? I was out with some friends and I bumped into my ex who was on a date with someone new. He broke up with me 2 months ago and said he needed some space. We were in an intense relationship for a year and a half. So I decided to duck out of the restaurant so he didn't see me. What happens if I see him again? What happens if I see him with another woman? It's one of the most popular restaurants in the San Diego downtown area. I go there a lot, and I know he does too. Okay. Well, I get ducking and running. I really get that. May have been awkward, and you felt embarrassed. You shouldn't feel embarrassed, by the way. He broke up with you. Here he is with another woman. See? So I think it might have been a good opportunity to use the, situation for your advantage. And what I'm saying is if you run into him again, what's really a great thing to do is appear normal and calm and cool and collected. I'm sure you were dressed up nicely because you were out, you see, and your friends probably thought, you're nuts. You're ducking and running. You go to another dinner place or nightclub. You got a right to be there just as much as he does. It's all good. One of the reasons why it's a good idea to act calm and normal, cool, you could just go there. And if the situation, if he saw you, you could just nod at him and smile and look away. Stay busy. You don't have to go up and introduce yourself or come off weird. Many people describe their exes, like guys, or we do when we break up with someone and it's been a bad experience. For some reason, I don't know what his deal was. He needed space. Sometimes guys to other women, or if they're talking about exes, they describe them as they were weird. It wasn't a good thing. They were clingier. I don't know what was going on with you. But sometimes it makes guys and women feel better, and it helps them cope with and justifies their leaving the relationship. So sometimes why I say to go in there calm and cool and just look good and be pleasant and be with your friends is because it's a chance to prove to him and anybody else who's with him or any friends he's told who are, you know, guys or women, that they're wrong. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not a straight. If you appear normal and calm and pleasant, you know, it's called, you know, just seeing who you are. There's no hearsay. There's no, well, you know, you're there, you're calm, you're pleasant, you're having a nice time. Don't look pathetic. You don't act like a victim, because that's not going to attract him back. I don't know if you want him back, but you seem really uncomfortable and embarrassed that since he broke up with you, you saw him in this place with someone else. You don't deserve to hide and duck, you know. And by the way, this doesn't mean don't confront him. Don't get into a fight. Don't go up there. Don't point out what a terrible mistake he made breaking up with you. You know, and don't do that. That's weird. You remain calm. You be confident and calm. It's cool. It's all good. Don't think about trying to run into him once you get your confident outward appearance up, by the way, when you've practiced being normal and calm and it's fine and cool and all that. don't try to do that. I had a client who kept going back to a nightclub that she knew her ex-boyfriend went to, and she used to pretend like it was a coincidence. Like she would accidentally run into him. Yeah, because she knew friends and they talked about where he was going to be that night and all. He kind of figured out what was going on, and I think she got herself in trouble because she appeared to be kind of crazy. You know, you never want to appear as an obsessed stalker. Oh, hi. So anyway, if you do coincidentally run into him again, Paula, just act confident, casual. He will probably be looking around the room. You will catch his eye, smile, what's the word? I almost said dobbing. Nod your head. Davening. That's the word. No, just nod your head, smile, and keep talking to your friend. That's it. You're not going to go up. You're not going to do it. If he approaches you, which would be really strange, if he excuses himself from his date, having dinner or having a drink at the bar or whatever, and comes up to you, be normal, wonderful, lovely, and kind. Hello. Oh, it's great to see you. How are you? Oh, I'm doing great. Great. See you later. Move on with your friends. That's it. No drama. Stay confident. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for emailing me, Paula. I appreciate it. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch with me, as you always are at this time, on LA Talk Radio, the world's most listened to internet talk station. And we do have really some good emails today, and I appreciate you all for emailing me and asking me your questions. If I can't get to you today, know that I will, and I will catch up with you online. My producer will catch up with you, and we'll get everything all straight, and we'll try to help you out. And hopefully some of the answers that I'm giving to many of the people who've written me are applicable to your situation, and you can say, whoa, that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So here we go. We're going to move on. And this is from Sabrina, who wrote me at docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle@aol.com. And Sabrina says, dear Dr. Michelle, I've been dating a man for a few months now, and so far have caught him in a few lies. He's lied about some of his past accomplishments, how much money he makes, and actually the kind of other car he drives. That reminds me of the bumper sticker. You know, people have a piece of crap car, you know, really, you know, funky old thing that's falling, and it says, my other car is a Rolls Royce. My other car is a Porsche. I like that sense of humor. But this apparently is not trying to be funny. He's lying. Anyway, she says, we're not in an exclusive relationship, so I can't get too upset. But sometimes I think he's lying about how much he likes me. So I do continue to see him, and I do sleep with him. Why would a man lie? Do you have any tips for how I can actually catch him lying? Well, it sounds to me like you've already caught him lying. You know, you said he's lied about his past accomplishments. Yeah, I love those guys. You know, I love people who make these grandiose statements about things they've done in the past. It's hysterical. But, you know, I guess it kind of reels people in. It's fishing, you know, you throw that pole out there and you reel people in with these fabulous lies. I'm kind of not sure, Sabrina, why you would want to continue to sleep with this guy when you know he's a liar, unless you just want to get sex out of the relationship. I mean, if that's where you know it's at and it's good and it's fun for you and all that, that's whatever. But it sounds to me like this is actually bothering you and you want a real relationship with this guy. Now, if that's the case, I'm kind of wondering why you are feeling so insecure that you might want to continue to be with this guy who's phony. Who doesn't have any, he probably doesn't have a lot of self-esteem, and he betrays people. And, you know, some guys, some people, women, we all do. Sometimes, from time to time. But this guy seems like he is consistently lying, but we all do, you know, make up stories sometimes to make ourselves seem more impressive. And a lot of guys do that if they're insecure when they approach women. You know, they also lie about wanting a lasting relationship, you know, because they think that women want this and that only by hinting at, you know, a relationship, they can get, you know, sex and companionship or whatever. And then a lot of times guys find themselves trapped in a relationship they didn't want because they were pretending to be someone they're not. You know, how many people have you known who have done that? So then they lie to get space from their partner, right? And then they lie to cheat on that partner. And then they lie to escape the relationship. You know, it's just a constant. You lie once, you get in this giant snowball, and then you have to keep lying in order to survive if you're one of those people. So this guy lying about his accomplishments and financial situations means he's insecure about who he is and what he does. He's embarrassed, maybe. He doesn't feel that he's enough. Something that many guys don't wake up to until later in life is that the liar also never feels intimacy or love. You know, it's okay to keep running and making yourself out like you're this wonderful, spectacular, successful person with all these things going on. But if you do that for too many years and you keep playing the game of going through a lot of people, dating and having sex with and trashing relationships, it's really a sign that you are not capable of having intimacy or sharing love. The lies are, you know, always getting in the way. So honesty really does build better relationships. Okay. So you say, how can I actually catch him lying? You already have. What do you want to do? You go, aha! You told me that. I would ask him if you want to see him again. You said he's lied to you about some of his past accomplishments. I don't know how you found that out, but does he tell you one story and then another? Or how much money he makes or the kind of car he drives? You found out he doesn't really drive this other car. He doesn't really have a Porsche. my other car, sitting in the driveway or in the garage. You might just ask him. Say, I wonder, you know, you told me this about your past accomplishment, and then you told me sort of a different version. I'm a little confused. Is this really true? It's really okay. You don't have to make up stories. I'm really okay with who you are. That's why I'm seeing you, is I like you. Okay? So if you really do want a relationship with this guy, you don't have to catch him, you know, bust him. You can. You can just ask him all these other things you've already detected that he's lied about. Just say, you know, I'm a little confused. You said this, and then this is what the reality is. You say you have a Porsche sitting in the garage. That's your other car. And you're taking me out in this really funky old, I'm not going to say it, but you're going to take me out in this old car, and you say, well, I really do have a Porsche, but it's in the shop. But it's been in the shop now for 4 months. But I can afford that, you know. I'm just say, look, you don't have to lie to me. I like you for who you are. It's creeping me out that you're BSing me. If you want some tips on how to detect it, whether somebody's lying to you, this is a side note. And I hope I helped you, Sabrina. Just be honest with him. Okay. You can log on to, there's a website called ehow.com. ehow.com. And you can type in body language, understanding body language, something like that. I did a old TV series a long time ago on how to understand and present certain types of body language. Briefly, you can tell when somebody is being avoidant or not telling the truth. And this is just part of the thing. The thing I did is about, learning how to communicate better, open your body language up, coming off confident, things like that. But also, you can tell when somebody's kind of lying is you notice their eye contact a lot of times. When someone won't meet your eye when they tell you something, that's a clue. Someone is looking around the room or looking down at the floor. It's embarrassment that they're experiencing, or they're uncomfortable with what they're telling you because it's not the truth. And when somebody's body language indicates like blushing or sweating or leg jiggling or, nervous, fiddling with something, they may be avoiding or covering up something because they're uncomfortable. Again, they're uncomfortable. Sometimes when people repeat a question, when someone say, what did you do this weekend? And someone goes, what did I do this weekend? When someone repeats a question that you ask them, they're usually buying time to formulate their lie. Right? You've done that before? Yeah. But you guys, you have a powerful secret weapon. It's called listening to your instincts. Now, there are a lot of people out there who are professional con men. I don't want to say men necessarily because women do it. But men are more notorious for it. unfaithful partners who lie all the time. So guys who are, professional liars, they've experienced and have worked on controlling their body's reactions. They do directly give you eye contact. They do have calm movements. They'll seem natural and trustworthy at first glance. So, it's just go with your gut sometimes. If something ain't right, you're not feeling it, there's something going on, and be honest with that person. Say, you know what? Because of the following, I have a tendency to believe that you're not who you say you are, or I can't believe all these stories you're telling me. Not that you have to be harsh, but just say, this is, have a little sense of humor about it. Say, oh my God, really? You've done all that? Wow. Okay, this is Dr. Michelle with you. I hope I helped, Sabrina. And you're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist. Just reminding you that you and I don't really have a therapeutic relationship per se, but what I do is I give advice and suggestions and ideas here to help you out. And you have written me at docmichelle@aol.com. docmichelle@aol.com. We're going to move on. I have a lot of emails I wanted to get to today. And this is from Terry. It says, hey, Doc. I have always been a believer in true love and relationships, which is why I waited until I found Mr. Perfect before I got married. When I finally got married at age 40, it was the most beautiful time in my life. Through all sorts of miracles, we had two amazing daughters, and it looked like we would be together forever. Until, after less than 10 years of being married, my husband left me for another woman. We never argued or had any real problems. We had regular sex. It was pretty good, I thought, for both of us. This came out of nowhere and shattered all of my illusions about love and relationships. I'm so distraught by the thought of starting over, especially since I work full-time and am exhausted all the time. It took me 40 years to find the one I thought was the love of my life. How will I possibly find a new love? Honestly, I've lost faith in romance and miracles. I don't even want to start dating. But I'd like to start getting out there in the world because, after all, I'm not getting any younger. Do you have any advice that will help restore my faith about the possibilities of finding love? Well, I know. Somebody who leaves you and the kids without any warning or hints of problems, they've got some real issues. I know. It's devastating. Can make you lose faith. You know, the whole idea of romance and love, and you find someone and you have kids and it seems wonderful, and then the guy goes through a midlife crisis or something and then books. You know, that's a narcissistic thing to do without even talking about his dissatisfaction, sneaking around, just leaving your family, leaving you and your kids. Narcissistic. Not even thinking about you or what the kids would feel. Not slowly easing out of it, just up and leaving you for someone else. What's up with that? So the relationship advice you need is regarding your relationship with yourself. I think this is about you too. I'm not blaming you. I'm not saying, what did you do to push this guy away? No, I'm talking about looking within yourself. So you need to kind of give yourself a break. You say to me, I'm not getting any younger, but I've lost my faith in love. And rightly so, you have lost your faith. And don't worry about the age thing. You're mature. You know about life. You have children. You've raised kids. By no thanks to him. I don't know how involved he is in your daughter's lives. I hope he's there for them and for you, pleasantly at least. But, you know, you need to really forgive yourself. I don't know, you know, you say it seemed to you like the marriage was fine. Forgive yourself for not seeing it, for not noticing it. You were in love la-la land and everything's fine and wonderful and the world's great. And he all of a sudden just booked. That was, I don't know. You may have done things to contribute to that. I always say that it's 50%, maybe 60 on either side. Maybe the guy's a narcissist. He wanted a younger woman. He wanted to get out and explore life. I don't know. I don't know what he wanted. But it's about you. It comes down to you. And you have to forgive yourself for what happened. Allow yourself to get through what happened. Forgive yourself. You may have been responsible for some of it. Done. He's gone. Done. You have two beautiful children. You work, thank God. You're exhausted, you say. You know, you need to get some rest and relaxation. You need to do things that you enjoy. You can't date or be in a relationship and do it well if you're exhausted or if you're bitter or if you're sad. You got to figure out what's making you so exhausted. Yeah, you work. I get it. Get more sleep. Get to sleep earlier. Replenish yourself. Exercise. Eat right. All those things that people tell you over and over. It's true. It works. You got to heal from the wounds of your divorce and your long-term marriage. That was a long time, girl, 10 years. You got to heal. You got children. You've got to focus and love them. Regardless of what a jerk he was, it's a loss. It's a change. So don't force yourself to, I have to all of a sudden find that there is true love in the world. Now, feel bitter. You know, you're going to go through a while of mourning. What's that old thing of DABDA, D-A-B-D-A? You're in denial, and then you're bargaining, right? You're angry. Ooh, depressed. You go through all these stages. It's okay. He up and left you and the kids. Not okay. So take a long time to just take care of you. Nurse those kids. Love that which you are. And don't throw yourself out into the, craziness. I've got a date. I've got to go online. I've got to start meeting people. I've got to start doing. No! Take your time. When you're ready to face the world with your best face forward, then's the time to start dating. You see? If you're bitter and exhausted and depressed, you're going to attract other people who are like that. You don't want to do that. You want to go into it gently and start seeing people out there slowly in the world. You know, there's plenty of good men out there. You have to be your best self to attract them, though. Plenty of nice guys out there. You know, whatever you didn't see within him, you know, maybe you're going to wise up and learn a little bit. You know, what did you do to contribute to it? Maybe go see a therapist. Get some help about your loss of why he up and left you. Not about what you did necessarily, but what was his deal? What didn't you see? But just be kind and gentle to yourself. And that's what I always say. Which brings me to the fact that we're just about out of time. This is Dr. Michelle, and I've really enjoyed being on the couch with you now. And if you'd like to email me, you can do so. DocMichelle@AOL.com. DocMichelle@AOL.com. Right here on LA Talk Radio. Stay tuned because there's more great shows coming up. Check me out on my website, DrMichelleTherapy.com. DrMichelleTherapy.com. Have a great new year. Happy New Year. Think about some of those things I said at the beginning about taking good care of yourself first, taking responsibility for your thoughts and actions, and that's how you change. Happy New Year.